Good afternoon, 4:30 and 36 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be very, very, very difficult to get me to vote for a presidential nomination from this president.
Senator Rand Paul doubts if he can vote for anyone President Obama nominates to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court.
A child drowns in a hotel swimming pool in Scioto County.
And a retired firefighter in Ashland claims a city commissioner appears to have it in for the city's fire department.
In sports, the Cats scratch their way back up today's college basketball poll.
No stock report today because of the federal holiday.
Rain and snow are likely tonight with accumulation of around an inch, lows in the 30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Rowan County schools will be on a one-hour delay Tuesday because of the weather. The following school districts will be closed: Breathitt, Jackson, Johnson, Morgan, and Wolf counties. Those are all the school districts that we have for you at this time, but we will update that list at the end of this newscast. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that a child drowned Sunday afternoon in the swimming pool of a Wheelersburg hotel. Scioto County Sheriff Marty Danini says people had gathered at the Comfort Inn for a Valentine's Day party and were using the pool when someone noticed that a little girl was missing. He says they found 4-year-old Abby Ruby of South Webster at the bottom of the pool. CPR was administered on the scene and at the hospital, but the victim could not be revived. She was pronounced dead shortly after 4 p.m. Sheriff Danini tells WSAZ the drowning appears to have been accidental and a terrible tragedy.
A woman is in critical condition after being hurt in a single vehicle accident in Rowan County. Kentucky State Police say they were called out to Open Fork Road around 4:30 p.m. yesterday. That's where 40-year-old Stephanie Wilson of Moorhead had her car southbound when it left the roadway and went over an embankment, coming to rest against a tree. Wilson was taken to St. Clair Regional Medical Center before being transferred to UK Hospital. Two juvenile passengers in the car were treated for minor injuries at St. Clair. The incident remains under investigation.
An Ironton man who was arrested in Moorhead late last month has been bound over to the Lawrence County Grand Jury on charges that he tried to assault a library employee in Ohio. According to the Ironton Tribune, 22-year-old Seth Coleman was arrested by Kentucky State Police at St. Clair Regional Medical Center 2 weeks after the alleged attack at the Lawrence County Library in Ironton. Coleman had a hearing in a Rowan County court and waived extradition. He was then returned to Ironton, where his case was referred to the grand jury. Police say a female employee of the Ironton Library claims Coleman entered her office and attempted to assault her. He's now held in the Lawrence County Jail on $100,000 bond. Coleman is charged with felonious assault.
Workers clearing the site where Rowan County's new jail will be built have made a lot of progress in the last several weeks. According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, the old tobacco barn that used to stand on the site along U.S. 60 East is pretty well gone, and all that's left of it are several piles of debris.
There's quite a bit in some areas, but a lot of it's just blacktop. It won't take very long to... you've got the right machinery, and I think this company has the right machinery to do the job, so it shouldn't take very long at all. And hopefully we'll get some better weather here in the next little bit, and they'll have it finished by the end of the month.
Blevins hopes all the site prep work, including the removal of the concrete and blacktop at the site, will be done by the end of March. At that point, he says bids for the construction of the $18 million detention center can be let.
The Carter County Fiscal Court is looking to increase a local tax rate, MSPR's Elizabeth Hernandez reports.
According to the Grayson Journal, the Carter Fiscal Court recently passed the first reading of an amendment that would double the county's insurance premium tax. Under the plan, the rate will jump from 4.5% to 9%. Judge Executive Mike Malone says doing so will allow the county to pay off the debt it still owes on the jail building and the paving of several roads. At this point, the county jail would not be paid off until 2032, and the loan taken out for the paving project would not be paid off until 2024. With the help of the insurance premium tax hike, Malone says both debts could be paid off in 8 years. Officials estimate the increased tax will cost a person about $45 a year. A second reading of the tax hike proposal will be held a week from this Thursday. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Elizabeth Hernandez.
The chairman of the Federal Communications Commission says the expansion of broadband technology in eastern Kentucky is already paying dividends. Tom Wheeler says the high-speed fiber optic cable now installed by People's Rural Telephone in Jackson County has resulted in the creation of more than 100 jobs in a small rural community. He and Congressman Hal Rogers discussed the initiative championed by SOAR on WIMT's Issues and Answers program. Wheeler says the company deserves a lot of credit for taking on the project.
They did this in an environment where they average 7 homes a mile. That's a high-cost kind of a situation, but they had the leadership, they had the vision to do this, and the community is benefiting. We heard of 150 new jobs that have been created this year in Jackson County just as a result of the new high-speed fiber.
Wheeler and Rogers toured eastern Kentucky last week and held 2 public forums on the opportunities broadband makes for the economically distressed regions.
Congressman Rogers says he's been talking about the benefits of broadband for many years. The Pulaski County Republican says its capability for job development in the region has tremendous potential. Rogers says there have already been a few success stories.
For example, in Williamsburg, they've got cable there. We were able to bring the U.S. State Department there. That's now the processing center for all the visas of the State Department in the world at Williamsburg. Same thing sort of in Mount Vernon, where we've got hundreds of jobs digitizing for the Veterans Administration, the service records of people applying for disability.
Rogers says broadband is also improving classroom education and the delivery of healthcare services in eastern Kentucky.
The executive director of the Kentucky Coal Association is looking forward to next January and the end of President Barack Obama's term in office. Bill Bissett says stricter regulations on coal-fired power plants and coal mining enacted by the federal EPA have cost thousands of miners their jobs and is driving up the cost of energy in the U.S.
Our hope is in 2016 we'll elect a pro-coal president who will look at our industry very differently. A lot of what's happened here has been put into place by one person, the president. We're hoping a new president can turn it into a different direction because Congress is in very much disagreement with what President Obama has done with coal. So we feel there's support there.
Bissett hopes the next president will allow U.S. coal companies to explore potential overseas markets for their product. He notes that nations such as China and India are building more coal-fired power plants, and that could create more demand for coal from Kentucky and other states.
Kentucky's junior senator says it'll be difficult for him to vote on a Supreme Court nomination from President Obama. Rand Paul says Justice Antonin Scalia, who died over the weekend, was a conservative icon on the bench, and he doubts if the president will choose a replacement who will be acceptable to Kentucky.
Scalia was a real giant of those of us who believe in a strict originalist interpretation of the Constitution. It is very unlikely that he's going to find a nominee that I think isn't going to be devastating to our state.
Kentucky's other senator, Republican Mitch McConnell, says President Obama should let the next president choose Scalia's successor.
The man Ashland commissioners have tapped to be interim city manager says he would not have accepted the post without unanimous support. Sonny Martin was chosen by all 4 commissioners and the mayor during a special meeting last Friday. The meeting came the day after a divided commission fired the man who has been city manager for the past 2 years, Benjamin Bitter. Martin was Ashland's city attorney for almost 4 decades.
Well, the first thing that went through my mind was regret. I'm sorry that Mr. Bitter's service ended for the city. I had a great deal of respect for him. He was my friend and he was my boss. But the very nature of the structure of things is that the political governing body makes those decisions, and they made the decision that there needed to be a change.
Martin says he's willing to serve until a new manager is hired. Mayor Chuck Charles says that could take the rest of the year.
A retired Ashland firefighter believes Commissioner Kevin Gunderson has it in for the fire department. David Stump says Gunderson recently posted on the commissioner's website Stump's pension spiking invoices and the last four digits of his Social Security number. The ex-firefighter says the publishing of his personal information makes him vulnerable to identity theft. He says Gunderson has only included pension spiking bills from retired members of the fire department in his regular newsletters. Stump claims Ashland has received similar invoices from former employees of other city departments, but Gunderson has only mentioned firefighters.
I feel that there's a pattern against retired firefighters and against the fire department. He also mentioned on his website that the fire department was over budget by $374,000. He didn't put any other departments on there either. I don't know if there was or not, but if there was, why not do others? I mean, be consistent.
Stump served on the Ashland Fire Department for more than 23 years. He retired in 2014.
Ashland Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says charges that he has a vendetta against the fire department could not be farther from the truth. He is a former police officer who was shot in the line of duty more than 35 years ago. No one, says Gunderson, is a stronger supporter of first responders than he is. As to whether personal information the commissioner has included about former employees in his newsletter has created legal problems for the city of Ashland, Gunderson says that's for others to determine.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't dare issue a legal opinion on that. And folks come to the meeting, they're certainly free to express their concern on any subject they wish to.
Gunderson distributes his monthly newsletter online.
An Ashland man told city commissioners last week his wife and the family's two pets were attacked by vicious dogs earlier this month, and he's concerned that it could happen again. Frank Warren says the attack happened on Crum Street.
A pit bull and a boxer came running behind her, knocked her to the ground, and then started to attack our dogs. You know, they had the our dogs' miniature dachshunds in their mouth, shaking them back and forth. Of course, my wife was injured being knocked to the ground, and she was screaming and kicking, trying to get the dogs off.
Warren says his pets would have been killed if the owners of the attacking dogs had not responded quickly. He says police and the animal control officer were called, and the owners were fined, but as far as he knows, the dogs have not been restrained. Warren says Ashland needs better enforcement of its animal control ordinance.
Kentucky's Education and Workforce Secretary says no other cabinet can have a greater impact on the Commonwealth's economy than his, and that makes his job exciting. Hal Heiner says one of the biggest challenges facing Kentucky is not a lack of employment opportunities, but making sure people have the skills businesses need. The secretary appeared Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman.
We have open jobs across Kentucky that we cannot fill because of the numbers of individuals, the skill levels, and the education levels of those individuals. So when Forbes came out with an article in late October and said that Kentucky ranks 46th in the nation in workforce, in quality of the labor supply, that's a serious issue.
Heiner says if Kentucky is unable to supply skilled labor for today's workforce, companies will begin looking elsewhere to expand.
Kentucky's lieutenant governor is defending the Bevin administration's call to cut funding for higher education over the next 30 months. Janine Hampton says she's thrilled by the Bevin budget, and it shows that, in her words, adults are finally in charge. Hampton made the comment Sunday on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw. She doesn't accept claims that the reductions are going to hurt post-secondary education.
Nobody wants to take a cut. Nobody does. Everybody just wants more money. My program's the most important. We will fall apart without it. But here's what I do know. This goes back to when I was as a kid. When you have a limited amount of money and you face reality, you tend to get really creative with those limited dollars.
Hampton says once Kentucky solves its financial problems and expands the tax base, there can be a conversation about putting more money into higher ed.
Ohio's lieutenant governor says the state's business has not been ignored while its chief executive is campaigning for president. Mary Taylor answered questions about Republican Governor John Kasich's absence from the Buckeye State at a forum sponsored by the Ohio Associated Press. Kasich has been pursuing the GOP nomination for president and has spent much of the last 2 months outside Ohio. However, Taylor says the important work of the Kasich administration continues unabated.
The governor is still the governor, regardless of where he is. He can walk and chew gum at the same time. He's available by phone and always has been.
Taylor says the governor has a talented team in Columbus and it continues to move the ball forward.
State Representative Jim DuPlessis thinks putting marshals in Kentucky's public schools would better protect students. The Elizabethtown Republican says the marshals would be employees of the school district, and their identity would only be known to administrators and local police. He says they would not be armed, but would have a weapon and ammunition in the school under lock and key. DuPlessis outlined his proposal for CN2's Pure Politics.
Each district independently can choose whether or not they want to have a marshal. The school board first chooses, yes, we want to have a marshal. Secondly, you can have more than one marshal in a school. It's all based on population. For every 400 people in the school, you can have another marshal. So the marshal has to be trained, not just in CCDW and background check by the federal government, but also they have to have Kentucky State Police's active shooter training.
DuPlessis' legislation has been filed as House Bill 270.
A road in Flemingsburg is on a slippery slope as water continues to threaten its surface. Fleming Creek Road remains open to traffic, but sooner rather than later. But Fleming County Judge Executive Lair Foxworthy says the problem with water getting the situation underneath its blacktop will have to be fixed.
The stream banks are widening out is what they're doing. And every time we get a lot of rainfall, that creek tends to get a lot higher than it used to. And it's eroded the embankment next to the road there. It hasn't reached that point to where it's in the asphalt yet, but it needs to be repaired before much longer.
The repair job would involve reinforcing the creek bed so water from the waterway wouldn't run off as easily. The National Resource Conservation Service is reviewing the area for possible emergency water protection grant funding. And turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, there is a flood watch in effect through tomorrow morning. There's also a winter weather advisory in effect from 10 p.m. this evening to 7 a.m. tomorrow. Tonight, rain showers in the evening and snow showers throughout the night. The chance of precipitation is near 100%, snow accumulation around 1 inch, and lows around 32 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with a slight chance of snow showers early, a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon. We'll see highs in the upper 30s. It's currently sitting at 37 degrees in Ashland. It's 36 right now in Flemingsburg, 37 in Inez, Lexington, and Winchester, and it's 36 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:48 on our feature segment this afternoon, a nonprofit organization is on track to bring a piece of history back to the region with the hope of also expanding tourism. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has the story.
Every day, engines like this would run through Morehead and Olive Hill and areas that are pretty much untouched by rail access anymore. And we can't bring the rails back, but we can bring a piece of history back.
That was Chris Campbell. He's the president of the Kentucky Steam Heritage Corporation. The Lexington-based group was formed last August to evaluate a steam engine that currently sits in Nelson County. The idea is to take the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway locomotive and turn it into a tourist attraction.
It has, for a relatively long period of time, since 2001, been back in Kentucky. It has been out of the state for about 15 years, well, I guess almost 20 years, running on other railroads. It had been leased to other companies that were outside of the state. Once those leases ran out, it was returned to Kentucky, and it has been sitting dormant ever since.
The 73-year-old engine is in relatively good shape, says Campbell, and after its restoration is complete, his group plans to use the locomotive to carry passengers on short excursions. Campbell feels certain that the novelty will attract plenty of guests.
They're not something that people in this day and age really see anymore. The machinery is all exposed. It's loud. It's somewhat obnoxious in some ways, but it's a good obnoxious. And it winds up becoming something that people were really drawn to.
In order to restore the steam engine, the corporation has estimated it could cost up to $1.3 million. The first step in raising money for that effort is to lay down the tracks for education.
It's going to be a lot of just networking, getting the premise of what we're doing out into the public so people can understand why it's important, why it could also be something that is a potential tourism draw and a potential money inflow draw for the area.
Along with collecting private donations, the Kentucky Steam Heritage Corporation will also apply for a government grant. Campbell, who grew up in the dying days of the Kentucky Railroad era, knows that preserving these important pieces of the past goes well beyond just seeing old pictures in a photo album.
I think it's important for us to realize where we came from, how our cities, how our communities were built, how people got from one place to another before the interstate, and relive a piece of history. And rather than just see it, they can smell it, they can touch it, they can feel it rumble by. And I think that's important to make history something that's interesting rather than something that's static and behind glass and kind of stuffed and mounted so that you can't really experience it.
The group expects to have the local locomotive in Lexington by 2017 and get it back on the tracks and chugging along in the year 2020. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jordan Simonson.
It is 4:51. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock. Once again, no stock report this afternoon because of the federal holiday, but Mike has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
Cats scratch some ground in the AP. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the sports report. The AP Men's Top 25 basketball poll is out. Here is Jim Militello with the coverage.
The Wildcats were a perfect 2-0 in their first week as number one in school history. That earned 22-3 Villanova 44 first-place votes. 18 of the teams in last week's top 25 suffered defeats, and coincidentally, 18 teams either changed positions or are new to the poll this week. Kansas moves up four spots to number two, getting 21 first-place votes. Oklahoma and Iowa stay at 3-4, and North Carolina's fifth, up from ninth. The next five are Maryland, Virginia, Michigan State, and Xavier tied for eighth, and West Virginia. New to the poll are Notre Dame at 19, Duke at 20, and Indiana at 22. I'm Jim Militello.
Meanwhile, UK jumped eight spots from last week in the poll to number 14, and UofL sits at number 18. Since moving up in the AP poll, the Kentucky basketball team hopes it has things pointed in the right direction again. Saturday's 89-62 round of South Carolina on the road marked the 14th-ranked UK's third straight win. They had to play much of the game without Coach John Calipari, who was ejected about 2.5 minutes into it after getting tagged with two technical fouls. Assistant Kenny Payne took over for Calipari, but says he didn't really have much to do, noting that he left point guard Tyler Ulis run the team's offense.
Every now and then I may have interjected something, but at the end of the day, it was his show. Only thing I cared about was that we rebound the ball, play great defense, and share the ball.
Ulis responded with 27 points and 12 assists for 19-6 UK, which will try to avenge its recent loss to Tennessee when it hosts the Vols on Thursday night. The Morehead State Basketball Eagles are still basking in the glow of their 78-77 win over Belmont in OVC action. MSU came from 16 points down to beat the league's East Division leader on Saturday at Johnson Arena. Senior Brent Arrington led the Eagles with 24 points and says the triumph says something important about his team.
It just shows that we're ready for the tournament type of environment and we're ready to play big games like that, and we can win big games like that. So if we continue to play like this, I think it's going to be hard to stop us. We just got to keep this up, seriously.
The 14-11 Eagles host St. Catherine tomorrow night at 7 in a non-conference game at Johnson Arena. The MSU women, meanwhile, continued to struggle. They fell to 9-17 overall, and most importantly to 3-9 in the OVC, following an 89-74 loss at home to Belmont on Saturday. With the end of the regular season nearing, senior guard Natalie Greenwell still hopes the Eagles can still find a way into the conference tournament.
We have 4 games left if we don't make it to the tournament, so we're just trying to, you know, fight for it and trying to compete, lay it out on the line.
The MSU women entertained Tennessee Tech in a conference game on Wednesday night. They beat Tech last month in Cookeville. The Round County boys basketball team will hit the road tonight in search of its 5th straight win. The 16-9 Vikings are slated for a 7:30 game at Greenup County. With time running out on the regular season, Coach Sean Thacker says Round is still fine-tuning in hopes of making a deep postseason run.
There's a small gap between 1-8 in our region, and you know, we're somewhere right there in the middle of the pack, and you know, we need to get better at some things if we want to move ourselves up the ladder and maybe find a way to win the region.
The Vikes will meet a Greenup squad that's 18-9 for the season. Former All-Star Tracy McGrady is joining ESPN as an analyst and will make regular appearances on its new daily NBA show. McGrady will appear on The Jump, the afternoon telecast hosted by Rachel Nichols that debuts Thursday. The network says McGrady will also contribute analysis to news and information programming, including SportsCenter. From the National Football League, the Chicago Bears have hired a pair of assistant coaches. Taking over as Chicago's wide receivers coach is former Tulane coach Curtis Johnson, while Rutgers offensive coordinator Ben McDaniels was hired as the quarterback coach. And the Detroit Lions have hired former Broncos assistant Brian Callahan as the team's quarterback coach. According to ESPN, Peyton Manning has been brought up in a lawsuit just a week after winning Super Bowl 50. The suit was filed last Tuesday by a group of women that alleges Manning, back in 1996, that he placed his genitals on the face of a female athletic trainer. Manning has denied the allegations, and he was never the subject of a police investigation in the incident. After winning the OVC baseball title last spring, Morehead State has been picked to finish 4th this year by the league's coaches and sports information directors. That's likely because MSU, the conference top offensive team in 2015, lost several key hitters from last year's lineup to graduation. However, Coach Mike McGuire believes he has some quality newcomers who can replace those guys.
I like our talent additionally. We need to get some seasoning under our belt, and I think when that happens, you know, this group, I think offensively, there's a lot of really good hitters there that they just don't have the 200 or 300, 400 college at-bats under their belt that you know, some of last year's guys had.
Southeast Missouri is picked to win the OVC this spring. MSU junior pitcher Luke Humphreys is part of the 2016 preseason All-OVC squad. Morehead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson is one of 4 finalists for the vacant AD's post at Indiana State. The Tribune Star of Terre Haute reports Hutchinson will be featured at an open forum on the ISU campus on Thursday. The other candidates are Sycamore's interim AD Angie Lansing, Air Force Academy Associate AD George Nelson Jr., and NC State Associate AD Sherrard Klingscales. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball will host St. Catherine College tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and Tennessee State at 7 p.m. on Thursday for their final home games of the season. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com. A reminder that there is a flood watch in effect through tomorrow morning, along with a winter weather advisory until 7 a.m. Tonight, expect snow accumulation around 1 inch and lows around 32 degrees. It's currently 36 here in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Elizabeth Hernandez. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.